The views expressed on the following program are designed to amplify those of the speaker and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.
And now for something completely different.
Here's what's coming up this hour on Today's Experience. It's totally terrific, totally transforming, and totally triumphant Tuesday as we find unity from the Father through the Son and by the Holy Spirit, all for the glory of God Almighty. First, God knows everything. He is not smart. He is all smart. He is not wise. He is all wise. He is not powerful. He is all powerful. And he knows what's coming down the tracks for you and me. But he does not always share what he's doing. No. Why not? Well, we'll look at that. Next, here is something new. I will share something that was shared with me at the beginning of my latest class. It's not a new thing. It's kind of an old thing. It's from one of the great Bible teachers, Charles Stanley. And sometimes short and sweet is the way to go. We'll look at that as well. And finally, man, does that look good? You ever say that? You ever think, oh, man, oh, wow, that looks great. That is what we often think when we encounter something. On the surface, we think it's a win-win. Yeah, this situation, this looks great. We say yes. There's only one thing we forget to do. We forget to ask God. And that, my friends, can create a doozy of a problem.
David Spoon's life has been an experience. While growing up in a Jewish family, he made a wrong turn towards drug abuse. Then David Spoon found Jesus Christ, and his life completely changed. The more he studied the gospel, the more he wanted to share his experiences with others. After 35 years of ministry, David discovered a new path of service. He joined KAAM, and this radio program began. You're about to hear the David Spoon Experience.
Welcome to the David Spoon Experience. Local, national, and heavenly talk. Here's what else we're looking at during the show. Lessons for surviving, living, and prevailing. Politics, entertainment, and current events. Personal revelations. Spiritual observations. My life's insanities and oy vey. So much more. Hey. We're asking you, what do you think? Now you can email us, david@hemustincrease.org. That's david@hemustincrease.org. You can text us, 214-210-8483. That's 214-210-8483. Or you can call us, 972-445-0770. That's 972-445-0770. When you do that, Terrific T answers the phone. It's terrific. Keep in mind, in this show, any topic's open for conversation because it's not professional radio. We just had a very good friend of our show, Samson, call in, and he asked some questions, and we did our best to answer. You know, I did realize I didn't do a great job answering his questions, so I will say this. He asked me, was once saved always saved? Yes, if the person is genuinely saved. That would be the big key right there. So my initial answer is yes, but they better really be saved. Okay, here's what we want to talk about, though. You might have an opinion, a thought, a comment, or a question, and we will do our best to respond to that. Sometimes it's hard to answer 2,000-year-old questions or 4,000-year-old questions in about a minute and a half, but we seem to get by somewhat. You might have a praise report you want to share. You might have that, like I said, a prayer request where we can all pray for you. That's a big part of it. I have prayer requests all the time, and I ask the audience to pray for me. I got quite a few things going on. I'm doing two classes at the same time. Now, you guys can imagine that when something like this happens, I am reaching out to the school and telling them, you've got the close of one class, which is the hardest part, and the beginning of another class, which is the second hardest part, at the same time. But still, I'm going to get through it because I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me in things pursuing to the kingdom, and this is that pursuit, and we'll get through it, but I also want them to know that's not brilliant. And so your prayers for me would be greatly appreciated. All that to say this, here's our next trivia question. What book comes after the book of Hebrews? How's that? Is that a good kind of choom, turns left? What book comes after the book of Hebrews? If you think you know, you can call in 972-445-0770. That will happen if you call in. You can just give us an answer. If you're not sure, we'll help you get there. You can also text in 214-210-8483. That's another way to reach us. Plus, you can reach out to us at david@hemustincrease.org, which, by the way, is our website. Please don't forget our website. Go check out hemustincrease.org. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email david@hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. Okie dokie artichokery. Remember, okie dokie artichokey, that is a theological term. All righty is not. Okay. All right. What book comes after the book of Hebrews? Okay. What book comes after the book of Hebrews? If you're a newer Christian and you don't know, if you've got a Bible, I'm assuming that they gave you a Bible, you can simply look, okay, at the listing of the words, and you can find it that way. You can just look at, so you'll look at the New Testament books, you just kind of read them one after another, then you'll find out. Okay? Okay. All right. All right. I'm looking for what book specifically, what's the next thing to read after the book of Hebrews is over in the New Testament? Okay? Okay. We covered that. What else do we got to cover? Do we cover everything pretty good? Yeah, not bad. All right, I'm going to give you something. I love you guys. You know I love you. I have no ill will towards, well, not to anybody that's on this show. Hey, I still have the stuff to work out. But I want to talk to you about something that is rather daunting at times. And here it is out of Revelation chapter 10, verses 3 and 4. I saw another strong angel coming down out of heaven, clothed with a cloud. And the rainbow was upon his head, and his face was like the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. And he had in his hand a little book which was open. He placed his right foot on the sea and his left on the land. And he cried out with a loud voice, and when a lion roars. And when he cried out, the seven peals of thunder uttered their voice. When the seven peals of thunder had spoken, I was about to write. And I heard a voice from heaven saying, seal up the things which the seven peals of thunder have spoken, and do not write them. This is Revelation chapter 10. Oh, I know. There's people that are like, this is all futuristic and so on and so forth. Get the principle from the scriptures. When you read the scriptures, they have their most contextual understanding in the audience they were written to, but they also have the what, the depth, the dynamic application principle, and how it applies to us. What can you get out of this angel, powerful angel, even called a strong angel? He's wow, he's getting ready to do some really radical things. Loud voice like a lion. Some people think this is could be Christ. I'm not even going to argue one way or another. Seven peals of thunder uttered their voices. When they had done that, I was about to write what they wrote and heard a voice from heaven saying, don't write that. What? Why not? You ready? I love you guys. Not all things that God knows is revealed to you. There are things the Lord does reveal to you, but there are the secret things of the Lord, Deuteronomy 29:29. Some things the Lord has for you, he will share, but sometimes he will share them later, or sometimes he will not share them. I'm not finding a lot, and I've double-checked about 40 times, and I could be wrong about this, but I'm not finding a lot of material for Jacob understanding that Joseph was sent ahead to save the entire family because the nation of Israel was going to be saved. And I'm not even seeing where Jacob said, hey, where's my kid? None of that. But ahead of time, the Lord was showed through a dream, he's going to do something marvelous, and it was saving the nation. But it didn't seem like too many people caught on, including Joseph, until he was actually in the position. The reason I say that is this. The Lord has many great plans for you and me, but he doesn't show us all of them. When he does show us, sometimes we try to make those plans happen ourselves. And before you get too spiritually defensive, I will simply ask you to consider our forefather in the faith, Abraham, who had a promise from God. Things weren't going along at the time pace he was hoping. His wife said, this is getting ridiculous. Let's create our own little baby. You sleep with Hagar. That's how they got Ishmael. Wrong child, wrong way to do it. Trying to do the work of God for God. That created nothing but problems. And the promise came at the proper time. In the meantime, what they had produced was not helpful. Why I say all of that is for you and I to understand that sometimes the Lord has got plans for us that he doesn't want to share with us because, one, we would mess it up. Two, we wouldn't believe it. Three, we might distort it. That's what happened at the end of the Gospel of John. They distorted what Jesus said about John. They said, he's not going to die till Jesus comes back again. That's not what Jesus said. They even tell you it's a distortion at the end of the Gospel. That's what happens. We get things, we hear things, we think things, we process things, and then we put our spin on it. And sometimes the Lord goes, okay, let's shut this up and not let anybody know so that they don't try and make something out of it. That's a disaster. The reason I'm bringing this up is because the Lord has wonderful things for you. He loves you. He adores you. But you and I are not that great with that kind of information from time to time, right? So why don't you hold on to that, Lord, so I don't mess it up, okay? That's a good idea. All right, what book follows the book of Hebrews? That would be the book of James, and that is James, the Lord's brother, who is also a significant figure in the middle of the book of Acts. So we're going to take our break and then come back, and I do have a joke, and it may not be funny. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
Can't stand the skill, can't stand the shame. It may be false.
The David Spoon Experience is now run by He Must Increase Ministry. What this means is that we are no longer operating as a regular business, but as a nonprofit ministry that is devoted to increasing the ministry of Jesus Christ. Our mission is to educate, encourage, and entertain Bible believers, the wounded and forgotten believers, and the not yet believers through biblical truths. We are funded by listeners like yourselves and ministry partners that want to provide sponsorships for the show. Your donations are 100% tax deductible. And the great news is, if you donate to our ministry and help us advance the kingdom of God, we won't give you a thing. That's right, you'll get no special prize or gimmick. You won't ever get an anointed Bible or penny in acrylic so that you're never penniless, or a guarantee that you'll become rich just because you gave. Your giving will support our unique idea of biblical encouragement. And what you'll receive is a receipt for your giving at the end of the year. It's all about sowing and reaping. Cast your bread upon the water and it will return to you. And if you sow bountifully, you will reap bountifully. But you'll be laying up treasures in heaven. And that's the most excellent place to receive the best return for the longest time on your investment. What happens if you don't give? Nothing. Except more commercials like this one. Let's spare everyone from more commercials like this one. Go to hemustincrease.org. That's hemustincrease.org. And give if you're led to and if you're able to. Let's keep the show going and help increase its time and reach. You must like this show a little bit because, after all, you're hearing this commercial, right? Thank you.
Okay, let's do a little bit of history, and then we've got our last teaching. Let's set up history.
Let's go live faith in the past. Let's go live faith in the past.
All right, unlike most of the times, I'm going to do an honorable mention because there are a couple of days that are worthy of honorable mention. First and foremost, it is Trivia Day. I mean, come on, Trivia Day. That's what we do. Hey, hey, Bible trivia. Hey. It is also National Spaghetti Day. So, I don't know
yummy.
How I feel about it. Yummy. You like spaghetti big time? Huge?
Were you about to say you don't know how you feel about spaghetti?
Well, I don't know if it has its own day, but let me ask you, do you like spaghetti like with stuff in it or just spaghetti by itself?
anything. Like, it can have stuff in it, stuff out.
Wow.
I will eat spaghetti with the sauce, as long as there's sauce and no just...
So meat. You're a big spaghetti fan, like I'm a pizza fan.
Yes. Love carbs.
We're just going to go out one day and just do pizza and spaghetti. We got to go to an all-you-can-eat pizza and spaghetti thing.
Can it be a National Carbs Day?
Yes.
Yes.
We have to find one of those.
A woman.
All right. Here is a woman. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Get ready for our next trivia question. A trick question. Da, da, da. It's a trick question. Can I say that any clearer? It's a trick question. I think that's pretty clear. Okay. Is that our trick question bell? Play that again. That was great. That means it's a trick question. You just remember that from now on. How many times is the word Bible used in the Bible? Ha! If you think you know the answer, you can call in 972-445-0770, or you can text in 214-210-8483. So we're looking for those that are really into this deeply, we're looking for the word Biblia. That's all I'm going to say. But remember, it's a trick question. In the meantime, I have a joke. It's kind of a cowboy joke, okay? I'm not good at the cowboy dialect, but I'm going to do my best. And if this is offensive to you, then my strongest advice is to change the station. I can't help you in any other way. You ready for this one? Okay. You're going to need the buzzer on this one, I have a feeling. There you go. Cowboy Bob was explaining to his fellow cowboys back at the ranch about his first visit to a big city church. When I got there, they had me park my pickup truck in the corral. Bob began. You mean the parking lot? Interrupted Les. Well, then I walked up to the trail to the door, Bob continued. The sidewalk to the door, Les corrected him again. Inside the door, I was met by this dude, Bob said. That would be the usher, Les clarified. Well, then the usher led me down to the chute, Bob said. You mean the aisle, Les said. Well, then he pointed to a stall and told me to sit there. Pew, Les said. Pew. Yeah, recalled Bob. That's right. That's what the pretty lady said when I sat down right next to her. Come on. Come on. Isn't that... Come on. I should get at least an award for attempt. All right. Our trivia question. What was our trivia question again? Oh, my. We need help. Our trivia question is, how many times is the word Bible used in the Bible? Trick question. We'll get to that if anybody wants to call in. What is it? 972-445-0770. Or you can text in 214-210-8483. Always challenging these trick questions, aren't they? This thing I'm going to share with you is from Charles Stanley. It's not mine. I didn't create it. There's a lot of stuff that I share with you from other people, and I don't really have a problem doing that because nothing that anybody shares about the kingdom of God is really theirs. It's Jesus's material. All our material is at least 2,000, if not 4,000 years old. So everybody take a deep breath and relax. This is from Charles Stanley. This was in the beginning portion of my reading for my latest class, and I just thought it was really good and something worthwhile for us to review. It says this: many people view discouragement and disappointment as the same thing, but there is a slight difference. Disappointment is an emotional response to a failed expectation, whereas discouragement or even despair usually come from a prolonged disillusionment or continued hardship. Since we cannot experience perfect success in a fallen world or keep ourselves from suffering, there's no way to avoid all disappointments in life. However, we don't have to yield to discouragement. With the right perspective of God and His sovereignty over us, we can avoid feelings of despair. When He in His providence allows failure and disappointment, it is part of His perfect plan, and He promises to use it for good, Romans 8:28. If our confidence is in ourselves and what we can accomplish, we will always be disappointed. The true remedy for discouragement is to put our hope in God. He alone can give us the courage to persevere, but we must be willing to look beyond the immediate and to the eternal. The Lord wants us to succeed, but not necessarily in our self-reliant endeavors. Instead, may we all become victorious over despair and disappointment by trusting in and depending on God. Okay. So, yeah, it's Charles Stanley. I mean, give me a break. The guy's fantastic. He's got so much great material. And it's like people are like, well, this is this and this is. The guy's got so much great material, done a fantastic job. Here's the bottom line. In this process of disappointment and discouragement, most of the time we take this stuff on. The problem is we internalize it. And we take it and we own it and it becomes a part of us. And one of the things that he says that is exceedingly important is that God alone gives us the courage to persevere. We must be willing to look beyond the immediate and to the eternal. One of my favorite lines, and I don't know if I heard it, but I've been saying it for a long time, so I'm just going to leave it there, is frustration loses its power in the face of eternity. And the reason that that statement resonates so much with me is because whatever your frustration is, even if it's spiritual, physical, emotional, mental, psychological, family-oriented, job-oriented, career-oriented, school-oriented, any kind of oriented, whatever you can come up with, in the face of eternity, it loses strength. It dribbles down. And sometimes, like Noelle and I don't know if this happens to you guys, it happens to us. Sometimes you get the mail, and there's like a bill from, we got a bill from some medical procedure from a year ago. And we're like going, what? And it was more money than we had, and it turned out it was nothing. But at the moment, it was like when you read it, you're like going, well, I can't even sell my firstborn son and pay for that. That's not going to happen. Now, it turned out it was all clerical and so on and so forth. But the point is that could really have an impact, right? But in the face of eternity, even a medical bill that you're not anticipating or some kind of financial debt, nothing means nothing. What does that mean 100 years from now? Zero. Zero. And so that would be a big key for us to understand that that situation that we're in, that frustration, that relationship that's kind of like quirky or goofy, zero power in the face of eternity. Now, somebody's calling in for answering the question, but I want you to catch that what Charles Stanley is saying is really good. Disappointment and discouragement, they don't have to have great residency in our life if we will put things in their proper perspective, especially when you understand that we engage in life with a partnership with God. That does make a difference. Okay, we ready? Ready? Here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
You're talking to Deborah.
Hi, Deborah. How are you?
I'm good. Are you doing okay today?
I am doing okay today. I went to the doctor. I had a mini physical because we had to do that for the insurance. And my I don't know if I mentioned this before, my cardio was excellent and my blood pressure was excellent, and everything was excellent, right up until he said, there's too many Tootsie Rolls going on in this diet.
I can relate to that.
And I'm like, thanks a lot. It's always such a great visit. You're doing great here. You're doing great here. Dave, look at this chart. This chart's going in the wrong direction. You want to make some corrections here? But outside of that, I'm doing really good. I'm feeling really good. So I appreciate you asking. All right. Now, this is a classic question. And you know I put the label on it. We even gave the horn blow on it. How many times is the word Bible used in the Bible?
Well, I'm probably wrong. I'm going to say zero.
That is correct. You are right. So this is what the deal is. The word Biblia, okay, Biblia is what we would call the plural form of biblion. The word biblion means book or document. Biblia is the plural, and that means books. And though the word logos and parchment is used, and scripture is used, and the word is used, Biblia itself is never used in any text anywhere. It's just what we've identified. Actually, its first recognition came about 150 AD. Is when that came out for the word. That people think that as Second Clement, it came about that period of time where he called it Biblia, making reference to the scriptures. So that was the right answer. You got it 100% correct.
All right. Well, you and T have a great afternoon.
All right. Thank you. God bless you.
God bless you. Bye-bye.
Bye. Yeah, that's cool. All right. What do we got? We got a minute? Okay. All right, so we got a couple other things now. I got a couple other cool teachings. I really want you guys to get into this because this next teaching, I am so guilty of this next teaching. I don't want to tell you, but I got to tell you because it's what you got to do. So we're going to take our break and then come back. You're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere. But I want to get this specific scripture, and it's really important. It's Romans chapter 4, verse 18 through 21. It says this, against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it was said, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead. Hey, it was not impossibility. God gave him a promise when he was 75. It didn't get to fulfilled until he was 100. 25 years between promise and fulfillment. God made sure he was good and dead before the promise came about so that when Isaac was born, everybody knew it's amazing. It's a miracle. Exactly. And it wasn't that Abraham didn't know he was old. He faced the fact that his body was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, 99 before the conception took place, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Verse 20, yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had the power to do what he had promised. It doesn't say that Abraham went through this and turned around and yelled at God and complained. He gave glory to God. He knew God could do this. And he believed that the promise that God had given him was important. And he held on to that, even though facing the fact, the circumstance was completely wiped out. Guess what? God showed up. I'm telling you right now, you can tell me all you want about circumstances and situations and your feelings and your processes, but I am telling you, when God shows up, according to scripture and according to testimony, to the law and to the testimony, the scripture says, to the prophets and to the testimony, here's what you got to be aware of. When God shows up, changes everything. And you're thinking, well, will that happen for Easton Scott? I hope so. But guess what? If my daughter spends her whole life believing, and Easton's whole life believing, that God can step in and this can change and that may yet happen, she's not done a bad thing. She's raised a child with this gracious hope. If God decides not to do that, instead of complaining about it, it's about giving glory to God, believing that he knows what is in our best interest, even when we don't understand. And yes, I get it. There are tough things. I went through a myriad of tough things, and I'm surprised. First of all, I'm surprised that I'm still alive. Second of all, I'm surprised that the Lord brought me through any of them. I don't deserve it. I'm not worthy of it. But he did it anyway.
And if you can't shout sight, you'll have to face a penalty. As with
welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. So I'm just going through all my notes, and I cannot believe how much of a thread there is between the first 30 minutes and this next 60 minutes, especially in lieu of these next two teachings. I did not actually realize how much of a thread there was, and then just hearing that fill just really kind of like, wow, this is like all like connected. That's how I just think sometimes that the Lord does that, and that's just a blessing and a grace. Okay, here's our next trivia question. It's a fill in the blank. You guys should know this one, and it's not going to be that difficult, so I want to give you that opportunity. The scripture says, I can do all things through blank who blank. I can do all things through blank who blanked. There you go. If you think you know the answer, you can reach out to us by phone, 972-445-0770, or by text at 214-210-8483. Let's see. We should do – let's do the website real quickly, and then – oh, somebody's already calling in. All right, so we're going to wait on the website. I don't know. You think I know what I'm doing? I haven't known what I'm doing for it's close to 60 years at this point. Although I don't really count it against myself, just so I can say that. Somebody answering the question, the trivia question? All right, here we go. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Donna Gale.
Hi, Abigail. How are you?
Good.
Are you having a good day?
Yes, sir. How about you?
I am having a good day. I appreciate you calling in. This is a great scripture, an encouraging scripture, and I'm going to give you the opportunity to help people get to all of it. The scripture says, I can do all things through blank who blanks. What is those blanks?
I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthened me.
That is correct. You are right. That is Philippians chapter 4, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, who gives me strength. Absolutely on par. Did you know right away as soon as you heard it, did you go, oh, I know that one?
Oh, I knew that one.
All right, good job. Excellent, excellent, excellent thing. Anything we can be praying for you in, or are you doing pretty good?
I can always have prayer. I'm not ever that good.
That is a great lie. I am never that good. I need prayer.
There's none good but one, so I can always have prayer.
That's right. Yeah. All right, listen, audience. This is Abigail. You got to lift her up in prayer. When you're praying, you don't have to spend 9 hours, just a couple of mentions, asking the Lord to bless her, guide her, strengthen her, encourage her, fill her heart full of joy and peace and grace and mercy. That's what we're praying in Jesus' name, and I expect the audience to do the same. Thank you, Abigail. You did a great job.
My name is Donna Gale.
Say that again?
Donna. First name is Donna.
Oh, Donna. I think we got the wrong name there. Okay, change that to Donna, everybody.
Donna Gale. Donna Gale.
Gotcha. I gotcha. I'm so sorry. Sorry,
that's
I got
okay.
Your name.
That's okay.
The Lord knows exactly what your name is. That's the most important part.
That's right. I enjoy you so much.
Oh, thank you so much. That's a blessing to hear. I appreciate that.
Okay, you have a good day.
All right, take care. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, it's just me getting the wrong name. What's the matter with me? Okay, got it? Everybody get that? See, now this is why you need to really pray for, because I just did that on the air. Help her out. I need help. All right, history? Go back to history? Let's do history. Okay. Oh, website. Let's do website first. Don't forget our website. We like our website. Do our website. Website, hemustincrease.org, hemustincrease.org. Email, David at hemustincrease.org. Facebook, He Must Increase Ministry. YouTube, He Must Increase Ministry. All right, don't forget to be in prayer for Donna Gale. So I got that right that time, right? See, I got it wrong then. I don't know why I thought it was Abigail. Although that's kind of close if you think about it. Donna Gale, Abigail. I mean, there's a, it's not like, you know, gold. You know, I didn't say that. So I'm saying, I blew it. What do you want? All right, let's do the history.
Let's go live.
All right, here we go. Here's your history. This is just for stuff for people to remember. Today is Camera Day, which is no longer the same thing it used to be because everybody has a phone, and almost every phone I've seen now has a camera, doesn't it? I mean, just almost everyone. It's Waffle Iron Day. Okay, I'm totally in on that one. National Almond Butter Crunch Day. Big fan there. I mean, that's
yummy.
That's good, right? Especially like my relatives, when we'd go into their house, they'd have That's the one thing good about being Jewish. There's some good food, man. International Mud Day. I don't know what that means. It's International Mud Day, I guess. 1937, on this day, the snowmobile was invented. So on my first remembrance of a snowmobile ride, not a joke, not in any way, shape, or form, I got in the snowmobile with my dad. Actually, there was pictures of this. Got in the snowmobile with my dad. My dad drove. He hit a bump. I flew off the snowmobile, did a flip in the air, and landed on my face. Now, since then, I've been on a snowmobile, but that's my memory. Isn't that sad? And then 1956, the Highway Act, they authorized $33 billion for the construction of the United States Interstate Highway. The only problem I have with that is trying to figure out why Hawaii has an interstate highway. Because, see, it's not connected to the states. So why? Okay. Just leave the government stuff right there. Okay? Okay, great. All right. Donna Gale. Donna Gale. Be praying for Donna Gale. I'm sorry, Donna. All right, Joshua 9. I'm going to actually use a couple of different verses just for the sake of time. We've done everything else that I can think to do. Here we go. When the inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Joshua, what they had done to Jericho and Ai, they acted deceptively. They gathered provisions and took worn-out sacks on their donkeys and old wineskins, cracked and mended. And these wineskins were new when we filled them, they told Joshua, but look, they are cracked. And these clothes and sandals of ours, they're worn out from an extremely long journey. Then the men of Israel took some of their provisions, but did not seek the Lord's counsel. I just want to explain what's going on. The inhabitants of Gibeon heard that Jericho and Ai, what had happened and what Joshua had done. And they were like, ooh, these people, they're like, wow, they're like very powerful. So let's go and say we're from a really, really far place away and we'll deceive them, but let's make peace with them so they can't get mad at us and kill us. That's so they were kind of like, you know, hedging their bet there. And so what they did was they dressed up and they acted deceitfully, and they had old worn out sacks and wineskins and cracked stuff and all this weird stuff, right? And so the verse 18, but the Israelites, when they went to war, it says they did not attack them because the leaders of the community had sworn an oath to them by the Lord, the God of Israel. A whole community then grumbled against the leadership. The problem that took place is that the people of Gibeon deceived the people of Israel, but Israel made an agreement or a pact and said, okay, we're going to swear an oath to you. We're not going to attack you or ever do that. That was before they sought the Lord. Then they found out that they were liars and they were stuck with the decision they made because they made a decision to be protective of them. So I want to make sure you understand the simplicity of this, because this applies to you and me. The inhabitants of Gibeon acted deceitfully. Everything looked right. It looked good. They came, looked like they had old bread, old sacks. They looked like they were worn out, right? The Israelites didn't seek God's counsel, And because they didn't seek God's counsel on the issue, they were deceived, but they were stuck with their commitment. So you look at that and you think, well, what's the lesson? Well, you don't always know the left from the right, what people are or not doing. The Lord looks upon the heart, but man looks outwardly. And even if everything looks right and it looks like a win-win, you still don't move forward without seeking the counsel of the Lord. You find out from God, is this the right thing? Is this the correct thing? Do we go forward? Do we do this? And because they didn't seek the counsel of God, they found out they were deceived, but they couldn't do anything because they made a commitment and they were bound by their oath and they had to stick with it. For us, from a practical point of view, even if it looks right, the solution here is to seek the counsel of God. Because there might be something you don't know that God will show you. Now, does that always happen perfectly? I don't think so. Maybe. Or it could be if you're genuinely seeking the Lord. I've had, you know, a couple situations that kind of, you know, go left or right that I didn't quite understand, then the Lord would make it work out in the end. But in this particular case, they just took these people at their word. They didn't seek God, and they got stuck with their commitment. And I know that there's people listening to me who can hear my voice right this second, that you have entered into situations that looked right, and you didn't seek the counsel of God, and you stuck in that situation. The answer is not to beat yourself up, because that's never the answer when you're dealing with God. The answer is to bring it before God, confess that you didn't seek his counsel, and ask him to help you now. The answer is not to build a monument to your failure or your misstep. The answer is to step right now and step into the Lord and say, okay, I blew that one. I didn't really seek your counsel. I'm stuck with this. I need you to help me to figure out the best way to handle it. That's what you do, okay? Don't build a monument to it. Surrender it to the King of Kings. There you go. All right, folks, you're listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Short break. We'll be back. Don't go anywhere.
It's incredible, and it's never been done before. And you can be the first person in your neighborhood to win.
What is it?
It's a contest.
How do I play?
It's simple, and there's three ways to win. You can go to Facebook, type in David Spoon Media, and on any Facebook post, type in the word Jesus in the comment section, and it's free. You can also send an email to davidspoonmedia@gmail.com and write the word Jesus in the subject line. Or you can go to YouTube and give a comment on any video, but you have to use the word Jesus. This is your chance to win, and it's free.
What do I win?
You can win 100 thank yous right on air. It's incredible. It's unbelievable, but it's only for a limited time. Enter now. Here's a taste. Thank you for listening to the David Spoon Experience.
What is the David Spoon Experience?
Then he says this, don't be afraid. Why should you not be afraid? Because what fear does is immobilizes a person, stops them from moving forward, and it also eats away at faith. Fear has this way. It's kind of like if you think of faith as, I'll do this now, as a chocolate ice cream that has peanut butter in it, okay? That's faith, okay? Fear is like somebody drilling a hole underneath and then taking a little spoon and then pulling some of that faith down, a little scoop by scoop by scoop by scoop. And you don't want your faith reduced, because God requires faith to us to engage with him in. That's his requirement. That's the vehicle by which he has chosen to engage with humanity. You don't think God could have said, it's me, you're going to believe, or I'm going to turn you into a fish. I mean, you don't think God could have done that? but he chose the vehicle of faith because that's what he wanted from those that would come to him. A confidence, an assurance in the goodness of God. So Jesus, first thing he says, ignore it. Don't be afraid of it. And then he does this one radically crazy, nutsy cuckoo line. Just believe. And we use that in movies and in books and in fairy tales and all that stuff. We're not talking about any of that stuff. This is believing, looking at a situation just like Abraham did, just like we talked yesterday, how Abraham looked at the circumstance, didn't deny he was old, didn't deny he was past childbearing, and said, I'm just going to believe God anyway. That attitude of just believe, it's taking a stand in the framework of your faith that says, I'm not moving. Here I am. Call me Bulldog. I'm right here. I'm not going nowhere. My faith is solid. Welcome back to the David Spoon Experience. Thank you for joining us here at KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Here comes our last trivia question for today. This is a good one, and I have asked it before, but I want to ask it again to make a point. Okay, my dad used to say, you have a point there, but if you wear a hat, nobody will notice it. Yeah, I grew up in a unique house. Okay, anyway, you like that one? That's a good one. Judas agreed to betray Jesus for how many pieces of silver? And the answer to that is in Matthew 26. Judas agreed to betray Jesus for how many pieces of silver? Okay, and then I'm going to talk about what that symbolized, or the symbol of that. Okay, All right, we did that. What else are we doing? Oh, I got to do my word, right? Hebrew word. Okay, so I got a Hebrew word. So let's go ahead and do the, somebody's calling in, and the Hebrew word. So we'll have somebody call and have them hold, and then we'll do the Hebrew word. You want to do the answer first? Yeah, I guess we can. I need T to direct me. You know what it is? It's a little bit of getting older. I smile when I do it, but it is. I don't care what anybody says. You get older. Oh, we're gonna do that now? Okay. No, we're not doing that. Okay. Trivia first, then we'll do Hava. Okay. All right. Here we go. It's getting older. I don't care what you guys say. This is David. Who am I talking to?
Yeah, this is your brother Ace.
Hey, brother! Oh, so glad to hear your voice. By the way, that did come through, so I wanted to thank you for that. Good job. On that one thing.
Right.
Yeah, so that's a real blessing. All right, now, here's a classic, and we have a couple of different people doing some different things on the answers. Judas agreed to betray Jesus for how many pieces of silver?
Well, I think it's 30.
That is correct, sir! 30! Now, you want to hear something super cool about that?
Yes, I would. Uh-huh.
The cost for a lost servant, if you lost somebody's servant, was 30 pieces of silver in the Old Testament.
Huh. Interesting.
So they paid the lowest value you can pay for a person of his age who was lost. They paid, that's the least amount that they could have paid because it was for a servant.
Isn't there another scripture in the Bible about 30 pieces? There's another scripture somewhere.
Yep.
I'm trying to remember where. I can't remember where it is, but I think there's another scripture concerning 30 pieces of silver.
Yep. It's in one of the prophets. That's exactly correct. And then the 30 pieces of silver is in, I think, Leviticus. And then there's another portion, although you're right, it escapes me because I'm, like I said, it's getting older. That's all I'm going to go with.
Thank you.
All right,
hey, well, that's great. I don't want to hold you up. We'd appreciate you. But take care of yourselves, and may the good Lord watch over y'all in good health and wealth in Jesus' blood and name, Yeshua Messiah.
Amen. Amen, my brother.
Right. Take care of yourself.
All right, God bless you.
God bless you.
right. Now, we need the audience to be praying as well as for our good brother. So you got a couple people. You got Donna Gale you got to be praying for. You got to be praying for Brother Ace. These are the people you got to pray for. These are the people that God has brought into your life. One of the best teachings, I think, in regards to the neighbor thing, like remember the Good Samaritan, is the Good Samaritan was going down the road, and so he came across the guy that got beat up. How do you know who your neighbor is? Whoever God brings into your life, that's your neighbor. Are you really a neighbor to somebody you've never seen, doesn't know their existence, have no idea? No, but if God brings them into your universe, that's your, there you go. Well, on this show, God is bringing people into your life. That's your neighbor. Pray for them. All right. We did that. Oh, now we're going to do the Hebrew. See? Thank goodness for tea. Go ahead. Matzah balls. I still like that, matzah balls. Okay, here we go. Jeremiah 31:22. How long will you be backsliding, O daughters? For the Lord has created a new thing in the earth, and the woman shall encompass a man. Now, watch. I'm going to show you something. The word man is Adam, as many people know. It's also mud, so on and so forth. But this is another word in the Hebrew for man. So listen, how long will you be glad about it, oh, you backsliding daughters? For the Lord your God has created a new thing in the earth. The woman shall encompass a man. But this word man is Geber, okay? And that means a champion, a hero, a warrior, a mighty man in all his strength. One of the four outstanding words for man in the Old Testament that describes men of strength and bravery and different things of that nature. So in Jeremiah 31:22, you have the word man, Geber, and that's a different definition of man. This is where the man is thought of as mighty and powerful and strong and a hero, a champion. And that's kind of cool because there's different words that mean different things and you get a better handle on it. And the Lord's saying, look, I'm creating champions. You guys better stop backsliding because these people are going to be rock and rolling for me. Get on target here. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that. Okay. I don't know. I liked it. Okay, this is the title of this DDD. Do world and life events look messy? Revelation chapter 9, verse 15. And the four angels, two of them in Revelation today, and the four angels who had been prepared for the hour and the day and the month and the year were released so that they could kill a third of mankind. This is in Revelation. And if you can get into the eschatology on it, we can get into, you know, where is this in the portion of the unfolding of time, future event? Is this any kind of parallel to something else? Got it. Great. Fantastic. I'm not even focusing on that. I want you to see something that's so specific, it will absolutely blow your mind. The four angels who had been prepared. What? They were prepared. For what? For the hour, the day, the month, and the year. The plan of God, so you can know, is down to the details of every element. I'm going to read you this passage, and then I want you to catch this. Exodus 12, 40 and 41. Now, the length of time that the Israelite people lived in Egypt was 430 years. At the end of 430 years, to the very day, all the Lord's divisions left Egypt. Here is a passage that it just doesn't get preached a lot. I don't know why. But in Exodus 12, 40 and 41, it talks about the fact that Israel for 430 years was in Egypt and to the very day that God prophesied. Now, I want you to catch this because this is enormous. I want you to recognize how long that time span is. 430 years, okay? If you were just to say to me the average lifespan is, 70 years, then this would be the lifespan of more than six people in their existence. 430 years is 4 centuries plus. And God said they're going to be in Egypt for 430 years. And to the day that God said they will be there and then they'll be leaving, they left. It's hard enough just to imagine that you can get all the people to leave in one day. Because it's just like its own miracle. But to prophesy about a 430 years prior and then have it happen literally on the day. 400 years. That's a lot older than America has been a country. You could not possibly imagine in your mind the entire leaves on the specific day that God designed 430 years later. What is all that to say? That God's timing is so prepared, so specific. Here in this judgment moment where he's going to bring judgment on the earth, it's to the hour, the day, the month, and the year. In Ephesians 1:11, it says, "Furthermore, because we are united with Christ, we have received an inheritance from God, for he has chosen us in advance and makes everything work out according to his plan." God is not behind in one single promise ever for you or anybody else. He is perfect in his timing. He moved an entire nation 430 years to the day. And when he's got stuff ordered in your life, you can count on the timing of God. What you can also count on is your flesh going, come on, Mr. Molasses, let's go, right? Because your watch is cheaper than God's watch. His watch is more expensive and keeps proper time. I don't even have a watch. That's my point. God has the watch, and he's got the time, and he's got the plan, and it's narrowed down to the hour, to the day, to the month, and to the year, and it's never late, and it's never behind, and it's never off. God is perfect in his timing for everything in your life, for everything. In your life. And for some of you, the time is right now to begin your first of a lifetime of yeses to Jesus Christ. Say yes, and you'll have a lifetime of the Lord working with you and being your partner and helping you in each and every way. Isn't that cool? All right, folks, you've been listening to the David Spoon Experience right here on KAAM 770, the Christian station here in Texas. Taking a 22.5-hour break, then we'll be back. More Insanity with Spoonanity. Talk to you then.
Most of my life, it feels like I've been running.
The views expressed in the preceding program were those of the speakers and not necessarily those of KAAM, DJRD Broadcasting, or its sponsors.